Howdy.
Hey. Scared the shit out of me.
Good.
Well, bazinga bitch.
Bam.
Boop. How are you?
Great.
Good.
Just, yeah, I'm here. How are you?
I'm sipping and soothing, honey.
Oh my, it's almost sounding like you're rolling down the street.
Smoking and
sipping and soothing, honey.
Great start. So
yeah,
good.
Here we are again.
It's fucking shit up. We are Elena and
Andrea.
Just two of the coolest bitches you'll ever fucking meet.
And hate.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people hate us. We are Upper Balcony, and we are excited to be here with you tonight as we review Murderville by Intercept. This had a 4-star rating by 632 people on the iTunes app.
That's a lot of people.
That's way more people than listen to us.
That will ever listen. We'll probably be doing this for the next 10 years. And we'll have 6,320 episodes, and we'll have 5 negative reviews total, because that's all the people that will probably listen. But hey, we're having fun, and that's why we're doing this. We don't really give a shit what our reviews say. We're going to keep doing it.
We're not professionals. We do not have degrees in journalism. We do not help investigate the murders or the crimes. We simply listen to the murders and crimes that other people investigated, and then we give our fucking 2 cents, which is pointless and meaningless, but I hope you enjoy listening, and we don't give a fuck.
Because we're going to keep recording these.
Right.
So, you know, it is what it is.
We are moms who work, who are married, who have dogs. We've got shit going on. We do this for fun.
We do.
If you want to rate us a 5-star and subscribe to our podcast, we love you. We'll tweet you.
At one point, maybe we'll have some merch. Maybe we won't.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
That's a lot of work. We'll pretend we have merch. Check our merch out. We've got new t-shirts.
We'll tweet you some merch.
Okay, so we are going to go through 3 steps. The appetizer, the meat and potatoes, and then our final rating. So let's go ahead and move directly into our appetizer right now. All right, so the appetizer is where we review the overall podcast sounds, the host or hostesses or hosts, the music, the effects, the overall feel, and how we thought this podcast went through.
Yes.
Okay, so what, may I ask, Andrea, did you feel about this podcast?
You know, it was set in Georgia, and it was very... set in Georgia, and they made that very clear.
It was very set in Georgia.
That it was very set in Georgia, in the middle, lower part of Georgia.
Wait, where was this? No, where was this? I mean, what state was this?
Georgia.
Georgia.
If you didn't hear me before, it's set in Georgia.
Set in Georgia.
The lower middle part, it's like 40 miles from Florida, I believe, or some, Florida, yes, because they touch. Those states touch.
They do. They hold hands.
They do. And the hosts are not from Georgia. And I think they found Georgia very interesting, and they made it known that it was very Southern and very racial still.
Okay.
Like it was kind of a throwback to, guys, it's still 1952. The black people are still drinking off separate water fountains in this town.
They kind of went into this kind of on a biased sort of thing. So do you want to talk about the host's sounds, how they sounded?
Yes. Okay. So let's talk about Jordan.
Okay. Let's go ahead. Let's.
So what, how did you feel about Jordan Smith and her voice? Because I know there were a lot of reviews that kind of addressed the host.
There were a lot of reviews that addressed the host's voice. And there are two hosts, two women. Go women, women power. One sounds super soft and really sweet and nice. And I'm going to go ahead and say that's Liliana.
Yes.
The other one, Jordan, I think she smokes a lot.
I would agree. She's like a smoker. She does have a little bit of a raspy voice. Yeah, she does. But, you know, I will say that the farther I got into the podcast, my ears just like got used to it. It was definitely adjust. Yeah.
I mean, she also had an inflection at the end of her words that kind of drove me bonkers because it was, we had a great time and it was.
Are you talking about Liliana or Jordan right now?
Jordan has the smoker voice and the extended end of her words.
Okay. I didn't pick up on that, but I don't pick up on a lot of nuances that you pick up on because you're kind of from the North and I'm kind of from the South. So I probably do the same thing.
Well, I have a very strong ear for sounds.
Yes.
So, I mean, I can kind of pick things up. I can pick things up when I look at people that other people can't. It's a horrible, horrible superhuman power that I have.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry, everyone in America.
She's judged the entire country.
Already?
Yeah.
We're done.
With her ears.
I didn't say I was a good person.
I didn't accuse you of being one.
I don't think our commenters did either. But we have 30-minute episodes that are a plus. We love that.
Yes, we do.
Quick listening. The music is good. It's fine. It kind of sounds like a Western standoff, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was very...
Well, I mean, it was very guitar plucking. Yeah. You know?
Well, and they would announce it. This is our talking about Adele music, which I think rubbed a lot of other listeners the wrong way. I kind of thought it was hilarious, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, own it, right? Yeah. Own where you live.
I will say this about Jordan and Liliana. They shot off the hip, and I thought it was awesome. I loved it. Within the first, I don't know, couple of minutes,
they're saying fucking.
And I was like, yes, these are my people.
I can't imagine why we would agree and be comforted by somebody who shoots at the hip.
I know. Isn't that strange?
I think that's what we're doing.
That have negative reviews because that's what they do.
Yes. They got a lot of comments about being biased, a lot of comments about poor Jordan's voice.
Right.
And I mean, I hate to sit here. Listen, I have a man voice. I know that. It is what it is. But I'm just telling you in all honesty what I heard coming forth from this podcast in the appetizer. Did you feel any sort of way about any of the commercials or?
Yeah, I did. So they had commercials for another podcast called Broken Hearts. And we both have listened to a few episodes of
that. That's one I'm not touching. I am not touching that one.
We are not going to review that one. But they had some commercials for it with the host, like little quips from the host that put the Broken Hearts podcast on. And I thought, am I listening to the wrong? Did I accidentally hit Broken Hearts again? Am I listening to the wrong podcast? Yeah. Like I had to go back and look and make sure I was still listening. Well, so confusing. But then it would be hair dye. But yeah, I mean, you know, whatever. But So I did a little side Google search on The Intercept, which is who put this podcast on. So it's supported by First Look Media, which is owned by Pierre Amadar. He's the creator of eBay. He's a bazillion gazillionaire, and it was started in February 2014, and it's kind of known for breaking controversial news stories.
Okay.
They call it adversarial journalism. Did I say that right?
I don't know.
Adversarial. Fuck.
I don't know. We're so smart.
Adversarial. So I'm gonna cut back to that, and you're gonna cut out with a part where I sound.
Yeah, I'm not. Stupid.
Adversarial. God dang it.
Keep going, Lena.
Adversarial journalism.
Not my turn tonight, bitches.
Oh shit. All right. Anyway, so the first article they published that they broke was the NSA's involvement in the U.S. targeted killing program, which was basically the program using drones for lethal strikes that resulted in numerous deaths of innocent civilians.
Jesus.
So the Intercept / First Look Media is known for very controversial stories that they normally break first. So I can Kudos. See where the hosts are supported in their automatic judgment that the convicted is innocent. And yes. this is still yeah. a very, and I'm not going to argue with them because.
Right. Well, we'll talk about that in a little
we'll
bit.
Get, yeah. We'll get into that. I just wanted to kind of touch on the background.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I did not know that. I'm so glad you investigated that. I
am too. And next time I will research how to pronounce words.
Okay. Don't do that because I don't. So. We're just basic bitches.
And then I'm going to drink more wine before we start recording. So
good. Okay. Good. Me too.
Cheers.
Do you want to go ahead and move into the meat and taters?
I would love to get into the meats and the taters.
Do it. Okay. First episode, right out the gate. These girls are just boom. Wrongful conviction.
Oh, yay. Yes.
My turn. Wrongful conviction. Just boom. That's it. It's a blacks versus white town. It's a small town, small minds, small cops. This is what's happening, folks. We've got another Curtis Flowers happening. I mean, it was just boom, right in your face.
Yeah, it was right in your face. And, you know, the way the first episode started mm-hmm. was them talking about things you can do in 20 years. You know, maybe you have a career. Maybe you get married and you have kids. Maybe those kids are now in college. And I know they were just setting the scene, making you realize how long 20 years actually is because the main character, Devonya Inman, who's serving a life sentence in prison for this murder that they, you know, say he's innocent for, which I don't disagree, has been in prison for 20 years.
Okay, so I've been married for almost 20 years. I've got 2 years till I hit 20. So that's a whole marriage that mm-hmm. that poor guy's sitting there. But the like you said, the way they start this is definitely, I'm sitting there waiting for, what could you do in 20 years? And I'm thinking, is this like a life insurance policy?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no music. It's just talk, straight to talk.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of bleh, confusing.
It was a little bit confusing. Yeah.
They put you instantly, you're there, you're done. You know clearly that this is a story about wrongful acquisition. Is that the right word?
Accusation?
As soon as I say my words, I know they're stupid. I know it.
God, we aren't doing ourselves any favors tonight.
No, please give us a 5-star rating and then obliterate.
God bless it. And we're going to start a GoFundMe account so we can go back to high school.
I need some education.
Maybe we should start at 6th grade.
Oh, shit. I'm going back to kindergarten where they start spelling.
God, this is kind of embarrassing.
It's okay. It's all right. So we get to hear Devonya, am I saying that? Devonya Iman Inman?
Inman.
Inman, right off the bat. Right off the bat. Right off the bat, we get to hear him discuss from his jail on the payphone how horrible this has been for him. And I'm just going to, this is, okay, well, I got to say it.
Go ahead.
He has the worst grammar on the planet. He said, this is the worstest and most miserablest.
Yeah.
I get it. He's in prison. He's depressed.
According to Liliana, he's fucking depressed.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, let's add a fucking in there. So he's fucking depressed. Can I say that there's probably books he could read and...
Okay. Listen. You are doing a life sentence, a crime you did not commit. You're severely depressed and maybe you don't have the access to the antidepressants that you need. You really going to read? I'm probably laying around on my cot, sleeping a lot, feeling really bad about everything. Okay. And I'm calling my, you know, attorney.
I have no understanding of what it is to be in jail. I've never been arrested ever in my life. I have no idea. I do know somebody that has been in jail for 4 months, and he said, you know, you just get up and you just try to keep going.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can't speak for Devonya. My heart is sad for him in the case that he's in there for something he didn't do. But Devonya, there are books, babe.
Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. So The name of the podcast is Murderville. There was a murder at the Taco Bell in town. Donna Brown was murdered. She was 40 years old, white, single mom of a 7-year-old boy. Does it matter that she's white, really? But they're playing this, they're saying that this town, which I don't doubt it, I'm sure this town really does have a racial divide. A lot of them really do.
Well, they said that the blacks still lived on one side and the whites lived on the other.
Yeah, and the blacks would say, yes, there's a lot of racial tension still in this town. And the whites would be like, oh, what? What are you talking about? And you're like, really?
White person wants to admit
that. No, of course not. Or that, you know, they're racially oppressing
right
one side of the town. Anyway, so she was working the last shift at Taco Bell. She was shot to death at closing. There were actually two other employees there with her, but she was having trouble with the time card clocking out. There was some kind of glitch with the time card machine. So she was like, no, you guys go ahead and I will work this out. And
right.
And then, you know, I'll see you tomorrow or whatever. So, which is actually against Taco Bell regulations.
Right. She also had the closing amount of, like, what was it, $1,700
yeah.
around in there.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
had to take to the bank. And normally they call the cops for protection. But for some reason this evening, she decided, she said, I'll just drive it over, walk it over to
yeah.
the bank and
right.
drop it off. So she was alone and something went awry. And she ended up the next day, I believe it was the next morning, they found her. She was shot through the eye. It was really point blank through the eye, man.
They really described it. So that
very
was
tragic. So that was disturbing.
That was murder number one.
Right. And then there was a second murder.
Shailesh Patel.
Patel. He was of an Indian descent.
Right.
And with a dot, not with feathers.
Well, he was visiting his relatives.
He owned stores and
motels. I think his relatives owned maybe a store and a motel. They were going to go to a wedding of a relative. But he was murdered in the house.
Yeah. And it wasn't his home, but in the home, let's say.
Right.
Beaten, stabbed, and then they dropped a TV on his head. It was just kind of like this really horrific overkill.
Yeah, like, what
overkill.
The hell? Why?
Why do you have to do
what
that?
What was the point?
Was anything even stolen from his home?
I don't.
They didn't say anything like that.
They didn't really say anything, but you know what? With his murder, it was a very shoddy, half-assed investigation, which
that was part of the comments that I noticed as well, as there are several people who commented about how it seems like the hosts are painting the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation,
yep.
in a very bad light. And listen, we've all listened to the Tara Grinstead case.
Yeah.
If you haven't, you're living under a rock. I think they're piggybacking on that, and they're making the GBI look extremely unintelligent.
And just completely inept.
But are they?
Exactly.
That is something we don't know. But these girls definitely feel that is what's happening in this instance. They're saying that the GBI refused to talk to Patel's family about anything that happened.
They not only refused, they told Patel's family, and this is coming from his family, that if they wanted Patel's murder investigated, they had to help pay for it.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I don't.
Do you think that's a case of lost in translation? Because, you know, the relative that lived in Adel that Shailesh Patel mm-hmm. came to, you know, cover for speaks no English. They had his nephew there when they talked to him so he could translate.
Yeah. I think definitely that was a lost in translation sort of situation. I feel like immediately if a situation happens and it's not solved and it's not handled correctly, instantly people turn and say, well, it's the investigator. They're not doing anything. You know, the investigator can only go on what they have. They can't just start pulling stuff out of nowhere.
That's true. No, they can't.
There is definitely some frustration. The GBI did not want these girls to talk about this case at all. They're saying that they're still investigating this, and if they talk about it, then it would give information out to the public that would hinder the investigation.
Right, but I will say that they talked to a Richard Dees. He was a GBI agent that was on the Patel case, who is now retired. And they played the conversation with him, and he was surprised that the crime was not ever solved.
It seemed like an easy crime to be solved, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it was so violent, and it's such a small town, and everybody knows everybody, that someone had to know something, and it was probably someone local. And that someone was probably Hercules.
So, you know, I'm thinking that they just didn't do the DNA pulls. They just didn't do the investigation.
And why not?
But again, we don't know. We're not investigators. We don't know what's happening.
DNA, real. I mean, that's basic. That's basic. If I walked into a murder, I would be like, everybody, get out of here. We have to collect all the DNA. Everybody get on your hands and knees and find the hairs on the carpet. Take all the blood samples. Is there a Starbucks cup hanging out somewhere?
Swab the toilet seats. Swab everything. Okay, we maybe need to become detectives.
Obviously. We're right. We clearly know everything. Okay.
So it's just another situation of, did they do enough? Did they not do enough?
Did they drop the ball?
Is this a race crime? Is it whites versus blacks, whites versus Indians?
Well, okay, so we have a dead white lady, a dead Indian, and then we have a double murder.
Yes, triple. Well, the one guy didn't die, yeah.
No, yeah, it was the two people who died. One guy just got his scalp slightly separated from his skull.
Slightly. No big deal.
But they walked into it. And it was at the...
It was like a market.
It was like a little, you know, country store with a lunch counter in it. The small town still.
But the owner of the store and a woman who worked there were beat profusely. I mean, they described this with scalp matter.
Oh, it was awful. Was it? Well, they said it was clearly done with a baseball bat. They were beat to death with a baseball bat. Just freaking horrific.
Witnesses also saw a guy walking down the street with a baseball bat with some sort of blood on him. And when the men went in and found the three people who were attacked, and actually were able to save the life of one of them, there was a black gentleman who was carrying a register, and he had blood on his shoes. So he was involved in this, along with a white man, I believe, walking with a bat.
And out walks this big black guy with this electronic cash register. And one of the guys that was walking in said, "Hey, guy, what are you doing with that cash register?" And the dude, like, hauled off and just threw it at him.
Just chucked it
right at him. And he said,
"Catch, brother."
I mean, it kind of hurt a little bit because that thing was heavy.
Okay, I guess.
But he didn't get his scalp, you know, separated from his skull. So
because they arrived so quickly, he was able to save the life of the one gentleman
who bludgeoned.
So now we've got Donna, poor Donna, who's dead.
Mm-hmm.
We've got poor Patel dead. Mm-hmm. We've got these two shop workers dead.
Well, and okay, so one of them was the owner of the shop, and his family had owned the market for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And the other one was just a sweet lady that the whole town loved.
Yeah, she was apparently climbing underneath of the counter.
She was trying to hide.
Oh, that makes me sick.
Oh my God, me too. Just so awful. So sad.
So that we've got these three murders, and they happened over 4 years, something like that.
It was over a span of 4 years.
So suddenly Devonya Inman is the main suspect in this case for the killing of Donna Brown. And it was assumed that he was the suspect due to multiple people saying that he was there or crouched in the weeds or they had heard or seen him. But multiple people also retracted their statement, just like the sister of the girlfriend Devonya was dating.
Marquetta Thomas, I mean, she hated him. But she can also vouch for him. He was at their house the night of the murder.
Yes.
And
but she didn't divulge that until way later.
Right. Because she was so mad at him because he was beating up her sister that night. And he also popped her sister's tires, which was the car for the entire household. So she was mad at him and hated him and wanted him away. So she
said, yeah, totally. He could totally kill
people. Probably did it.
Yeah. Yep. So just based on this testament from the sister Marquetta, there was a testament from a coworker that said, oh yeah, I think it was Devanya Inman who was crouched in the weeds.
Larissa Chapman. That's right.
Yeah. And there were these little, and then she again retracted her statement.
Mm-hmm. Okay, she wrote a letter to say she didn't actually hear him in the weeds.
Right. Okay. But as a police officer, you have to think, okay, here's this person, this person, this person, this person that are saying that he was involved. He was there. He was part of it. And then all of a sudden, everybody that says that is retracting their statement.
Yes.
At what point do you think, well, he got to them and said, no, retract your statement?
Or did he? I mean, but if... Okay, so if you listen to the entire podcast, it very much gives you the impression that all of the Black people in the town were afraid to cross the police force in the town.
Yeah.
It sounded like a lot of these statements were coerced.
Yep. I feel like they were very, very much pulled out of these women, but... Again, you've got a woman, Marquetta, who despises Devanya at the time. He's beating her sister.
Oh, yeah. She wants him out of the picture. Hates the guy.
Yeah. And then there's a coworker, and then there's this, and then there's that. So, I mean, how much? I don't know.
Right. But at the time of the trial, before the trial, did they not all retract their statements?
They did.
Which they would have everything to lose by saying, actually... I was lying. That's not true at all.
There's something to be said, though, about people who will just willy-nilly lie to the police at first, and then, boom, I'm just going to retract it. What's the truth?
Is that
the retraction?
Is that because maybe they're scared?
Right. I mean, what are they protecting here? Is it because he's a Black gentleman, and they're Black, and they don't want this stigma? What is it that they were protecting? What's happening here? So, as an officer, you would go, why did you even say that in the first place?
Unless you were the officer coercing it out of them.
True, but I don't know. I've seen so much and watched so much and listened to so much that I feel like sometimes officers, I don't think they know they're coercing people.
Yeah, well, no, I feel like it's a skilled art.
Yeah.
I mean, you know exactly what you're doing when you're trying to get information out of people, even as not an officer. I know what I'm doing when I'm trying to get people to say what I want them to.
Absolutely. We have kids. We know what we want them to say.
I mean, I know the art of mind fuckery.
Yes.
I'm a mother.
We're good at that shit. It's called reverse psychology.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean... there's just so many question marks looming, and the hosts, for as much as they're going into these locations and filming, well, you know, recording in these locations so that we can hear the plates clinking in the restaurants and Taco Bell, we can hear the sounds of the store that used to be where those people were bludgeoned to death.
The cash and carry.
And we can hear the parking lot that they're recording in. We can hear every damn car that passes, which I found obnoxious.
If this was an episode of, you know, 2020 or whatever, you were actually
seeing it. Yeah.
It would mean more. But,
You
know, I do give credit to the fact that they actually went there. I mean, granted, they could have been like at a Taco Bell in LA or just anywhere. But I believe that they actually went there because they investigated this for 3 years.
Three years. And they've got 6 episodes. That was kind
six
of
30 minute episodes. I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you what made the entire podcast worth listening to.
Yeah.
Was when they called the Adele police detective who was in charge of looking into all of these murders, Jimmy Hill. Talk about a
Cook County Sheriff
of shit.
No. Okay.
He was a dick. Like, I want to call and ask him questions just to hear him say, I didn't call you back.
I don't want to talk to you.
Because I ain't going to talk to you. What do you think it means when somebody don't call you back? It means I ain't going to talk to you.
I don't want to talk to you.
He's not English, dipshit. Oh. He's a redneck.
That was my best self accent.
I'm not going to talk to you before I've had my spots of tea.
I don't know. Fuck off. So he is definitely a piece of shit.
Oh, he's...
But he has every right to refuse to talk, and he kind of was polite.
No, he wasn't. Okay. He was polite until they said who they were. And then he was like, why do you think I didn't call you back? Because I ain't going to talk to you. I am not going to talk to you. And when they said, hi, how are you doing? He's like, fine. Can I help you?
I don't know. I mean, I guess if I were, I don't know. I guess my heart bleeds towards the boys in blue because... I wanted to be a police officer so bad. So to me, it's like,
I mean, I don't feel like
if they don't want to talk about it, they don't have to fucking talk about it. You know, I mean, this is not the first podcast that has looked into this murder. There is a second podcast.
That is true.
Yeah, I feel like we need to listen to that podcast and see what they come up with.
No, we do need to go back and listen to that podcast just to see. Yeah, a lot of the reviews mention that
and that other podcast is The Breakdown, so yes. I feel like let's go find that and then see if it syncs up or lines up, or I don't know, because this podcast overall felt very biased. It felt very, very biased. It felt like they really wanted this.
Well, they literally said, just because, you know, he didn't commit murder doesn't mean he maybe a little bit of a dick.
Dude, he beat bitches like it was his fucking job.
Yeah.
I mean, he lived in California. He beat bitches. His mom sent him to West Philadelphia. Born and raised. He was.
She sent him he got to Adele from California because he was getting in trouble. And she thought with that if B-ball. She put him with relatives in a small town, he would not get into as much trouble, and he got into more trouble. And
he continued to beat women. So,
well, he did, but then he would bring diapers.
Okay, listen.
He beat some ladies. If you're going to get down to the facts, true or false, did he murder anyone? If it's false, he should not be serving life in prison.
No,
he should maybe be serving some years in prison for beating women.
I mean, on International Women's Day, I think he's probably saying he was kind of shitty.
But does he deserve to be serving life in prison?
No.
No, I don't think so. And even the sister of his girlfriend was like, I feel bad every single day
for what I said.
Because she was in prison for like 17 years or something. No, not 17. Sorry, not 17. It was way less than that. But she said, just walking up to my refrigerator and opening the refrigerator, I think about him. Because you don't get to do that.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Okay.
All right, but can we rewind just a second back to the dick, Jimmy?
Let's go back to Demi Dick. Oh my God, I can't
Jimmy
fucking talk.
The dick. All right, so this guy, he's so fun. All right, so you're saying he has every right to be a dick, right?
Well, not a dick. No, okay. But he has every right to not discuss anything he doesn't want to.
Okay, but so they also interviewed Johnny Daughtry, a former Cook County sheriff, about Jimmy Hill. And he said, I'm going to tell you this right now about him. He is a vicious little man. He has that reputation. Everyone's afraid of him. And if he's interrogating someone, they're pretty much going to say whatever he wants them to say to get away from him. And I will tell you what would happen if you walked into that Adele City Police Department and talked to him. When you turned around and walked out, he would say, that's a couple of dumb bitches right there.
Wait a second. Let me just side note on that. Listen.
Okay.
We live in America, right?
Okay.
You and I work with men. We are in a man's industry, a man's world. We work in a man's world.
Yeah.
You know full and fucking well that half the time that you and I walk out of an office, we are called dumb bitches.
All right, but this Jimmy Hill guy is just a dick. He's a straight up dick. Most of the time, men's will be like, oh yeah, okay, blah blah blah. They'll humor you, and then when you turn around and walk out, they'll be like, what a stupid bitch.
Was I the only one?
This guy is just a dick.
Was I the only one that listened to this? And yeah, he was smarmy a little bit, but he was Southern nice. He basically did the bless your heart kind of thing where he was like, I don't want to talk to you. And he didn't go, listen, bitches. And he didn't go, fuck you bitches and hang up. He just said, what does it tell you that I don't want to answer your call?
All right, hold on. For someone who claims to have, like, freaking the ears of a bald eagle. Bald eagles don't have ears.
What does that mean?
If you had ears like bald eagles had eyes, you would have heard despicable, bitter dickness in his voice.
I think I'm trying so hard to not find the feminist angle out of all of this.
All right.
Like, I feel like if it were two men that were calling and investigating, he'd have said the same fucking thing. I don't think it has
anything to do with that. Well, yeah, and I would say the same thing. He's a dick.
Yeah. Okay.
He's genderless. If he was a lady saying that, I would be like, she's a dick.
Yeah.
Guy's a dick. I want to call
him. I have heard way worse come out of men's mouths
when
they did not want to discuss something. So I'm just saying that he was a lot more polite than 95% of the people I've heard. I don't know. Let's agree to disagree on this.
Okay.
I can tell you also that the comment section also back and forth with that.
Oh, with him?
Yeah.
Specifically?
Some people did not find the officers and the GBI as stupid as these women are putting forth, and they didn't find that they were as mean or, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and know what the Intercept is about, so. I can see a little bit of both ways.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, I can too. I can see where you think he was. He definitely hung up on the women. He was definitely short with the women. I'm not saying that, but he never said, fuck you bitches, I'm not talking to you. He never said, dumb C-U-N-T's, you know what I mean?
Okay, but let's just, so.
He didn't want to talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, so there's Jimmy Hill, and then there's the sweet little old man. He was one of the first on the scene of the cash and carry murders. He was calling one of the other guys who was there with him to see if he would talk to, you know, the hosts, because they had some questions for him, if he would talk to Jordan and Liliana. And so he called the guy, and he said, and I'm making this name up, hey, Jimmy, what you doing? How you doing? Oh, you working? Okay. Well, hey, I got these two nice ladies here. Jordan, Liliana, you remember that killing at the cash and carry that we walked into when we was going to lunch out one day? You do? Okay. Well, you think you could talk to them about that real quick? Are you sure? Are you sure that'd be okay with you? Okay. Hold on. That is a Southern gentleman. Jimmy Hill's a dick.
All right. Okay. All right. I don't live in the South. I don't know. I have heard that when people say, bless his heart, it's kind of like
a backhanded
fuck you.
He didn't say that, though. He was just like, I ain't going to talk to you. What do you think it means when somebody don't call you back?
Well, but at least he answered the fucking phone and told him that he wasn't going to talk to him.
He called them to be a dick.
Right. No.
He knew they were doing this podcast. So he called them just to straight up be a dick about it. But
in his mind, the case is solved. The case is done. Shut the fuck up.
No, in his mind, he's about to be proved a fool and a shitty detective.
Oh, God. Okay.
So he doesn't want to talk.
Is this going to end our friendship? I think this might break our friendship.
Uppers, this is the last episode of Upper Balcony.
Ever.
Well, and the GBI wouldn't talk about it. I understand it's open cases, but my God, they have DNA evidence that proves Inman didn't do it.
Okay, yes, there is. Okay, let's go ahead and introduce that other suspect, Hercules.
Yeah.
Hercules!
From the clumps.
So Hercules, okay, so apparently when Donna Brown was murdered, there was a makeshift mask made out of a pant leg.
Yeah.
And Hercules' DNA was found on said makeshift mask.
It was so, in her car, right?
Right, because he had gone into her car and was hiding or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
So Hercules was then linked to and deemed the number one person in the murders of the store owners. Yep. And because of the way the store owners were killed, they're trying to link it to Patel because it's similar.
Well, hold on. Yes, the murder of Patel. Yeah.
Correct. Right. Yeah, they're trying to link that together because it's very similar, the amount of
the bludgeoning. Yes.
So what I believe that these women are saying is that Hercules was involved in all three killings. Hercules is currently in prison for the murder of the shop people.
Yeah, the cash and carry too.
The Patel is unsolved, and so the Donna Brown murder is pinned on
Inman.
So I think that's where the women are wanting to go. They're wanting to shift it all three murders to Hercules.
And they have talked to several attorneys, one with the Innocence Project. They have some really, really good evidence, I feel like, that would pin it all on Hercules Brown.
I also agree with that. I'm not saying that Inman was involved in the Donna Brown murder. Hercules also worked at the fucking Taco Bell. He knew the closing procedures, and he tried to convince the old manager to rob Taco Bell with him.
And Kim Brooks took over as Taco Bell manager after the death of Donna.
Right. Yeah.
And in December of 98, she went to the GBI and told them her coworker Hercules Brown was acting weird. And just all but admitted being involved
in that murder. The thing that keeps occurring with these murder podcasts where there is somebody who is wrongfully accused is there is direct evidence leading to somebody else. But they refuse to look into it. I don't know if it's a fear of being wrong. It's a fear of being sued for wrongful conviction and now this guy's in jail. Because that will happen.
Well, absolutely.
And then that county now has to pay millions of dollars to Inman if he gets out.
Also accurate. And this is a pretty good case. You know, I mean, there.
I feel like it could have been done much better. No offense to our beautiful women hosts. I just feel like that was very much on speculation. And it felt kind of, and I had read this a couple times in the comments, that it felt kind of like they were just reading a news article. The only thing they really contributed was going to the scene and recording.
Well, they had all those interviews too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm giving them credit for that. I mean, they tracked all these people down.
But you and I could track people down.
We could if we had time, but we don't. I mean,
well, true, but I mean, Intercept is not paying for us to track people down. So
no, they're not.
I just feel like it was kind of a biased, mediocre, fuck the GBI, fuck the South, fuck the racial tension, which I agree, fuck the racial tension. There's no point for it. But I feel like it was just, I do feel like they were biased. And
and I appreciate their shooting from the hip. I love it. I mean, I feel like that's us. That's why we get shitty reviews.
No,
it's because
for sure.
We are just, you know,
we just say it. I don't want to sit here and say that this was the best podcast I've ever seen or heard.
Yeah.
I don't know how you see a podcast, but I feel like it was very piggybacky of Curtis Flowers. Curtis Flowers is our DM. He's our boy. He's our homeboy. When he gets out, and he will get the fuck out, we will wear our free Curtis Flowers shirts and throw flowers at him.
That, I feel like, is the best wrongfully accused podcast.
Yes. He
out
breaks
there
heart.
Ever.
I almost cried several times.
I did cry, honestly.
I feel like we need to move on to rating. Do you want to go on and rate this shit?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Let's pop that cork.
Let's go ahead and do the rating. Okay, go ahead.
I give this 2 glasses of wine. Listen, you investigated this for 3 fucking years. You've got 6 30-minute episodes. You've got a one-sided opinion. Got this gentleman who I don't feel a whole bunch of heart and soul for, because he was a woman beater and he was kind of, you know, shitty. He's in jail. And I know that he shouldn't be in jail for a murder he didn't do. I understand that. But I just kind of feel like you didn't bring me to tears to make me want to care.
Okay, that's fair. That's completely fair. I appreciate all, you know, the legwork they did, just running down all these people and interviewing them. I mean, the girlfriend, the sister, they tried to track down the GBI agents. They found mm-hmm. that crown jewel, Jimmy Hill the Dick. I mean, they tracked down all these people. And I will not lie, Inman's mom guilt broke my freaking heart. I almost cried when I listened to her. She says, I sent him right into trouble, and now he's serving a life sentence in prison because of me. That's so sad. And I mean, ultimately we make our own choices, but if he did not commit that murder, he should not be serving a life sentence. It's despicable. I'm not making excuses for him. No. He never hit a woman.
Right.
Unless they deserve it. And then you...
and then you open-handed him.
And then you slap a hoe. I'm so sorry.
Isn't it in the Bible that you hit a bitch if she's out of order?
You reach back and you slap. You smack that bitch up. So 6 30-minute episodes did not make me really buy into it. I would like to see, I want them to come back and get back
at
it.
You think they will?
And maybe they should like link up, like join forces with the breakdown.
Do you think honest to goodness that they're going to? Like, do you think that they're
I didn't get that impression from the epilogue.
No, I got nothing. The epilogue, can I tell you that I ended the epilogue 11 minutes before it was supposed to, because it was just a recap of recap of recap, and I was tired of listening.
Yeah, see, and I was in it until the very end.
Okay, so what do you rate it? I rated it 2 glasses. What do you rate it?
Not a full bottle, almost a full bottle.
Okay. God, I just
Was so much like making a murderer.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it kind of was. I mean, well, the Innocence Project is on it. And like,
listen to you.
They said habeas corpus.
Okay. So you're so adorable. You just want to give everything love. And I'm just over here like.
Well, I recognize the work they put in. I love him for Jimmy Hill, the Dick. He was such a gem.
Okay. Well, I'm giving it 2.
Okay. Okay. So, 3 glasses, 2 glasses.
That is our Murderville, Georgia by Intercept rating. I kind of didn't like it, and she kind of liked it. So
I mildly liked it.
Go ahead and listen to the Murderville, and then put a comment in our podcast notes. Let us know what you think of it. You know, I mean, let's get a debate going on here.
Take it to Twitter.
Let's take it to Twitter at Balcony Upper. I want to thank you uppers for listening this evening. We tried our best to get through this, and we hope to hear
all your negative comments.
All the negative.
Maybe throw one mildly positive one in there, or not. We don't give a shit. We're gonna keep doing this. So
there's another podcast out there that likes to say, put a 5-star rating and then put a negative comment.
Brilliant.
So let's piggyback off of that.
Yes, I love that. Let's make that our nomenclature.
5 stars and a negative written review. Thank you all uppers. We've been Upper Balcony. I'm Elena.
I'm Andrea.
And we will see you next week.
Bye later.